here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey, yo, I'm Addy.
Hey, yo, I'm Mo, and we promise to be more exciting than Payback.
What? Payback?
Yeah, you heard of it. It's a little event. When I say little, I mean it. Like, your cock little.
Really?
That the WWE is putting on.
You know, but...
For 45,000 people buying it.
Yes. Well, yes. Like my cock.
45,000 people have bought that? No wonder you afford that nice house.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. The gold-encrusted studio.
That's right. That's right.
Yes, encrusted.
They mean that's not gold.
What?
What are you getting to stick that gold up but keep that gold from falling off the walls? That's what I want to know.
Tape.
Oh.
Duct tape.
Duct tape. All right. So Payback, let's talk that shit.
Okay. Payback is happening on Sunday.
We won't be watching it.
Well, not live.
Well, not live. We will see it.
It's Father's Day, so we got some motherfucking family commitments there.
Selfish of family.
But why don't I'll just go top to bottom here. We'll start with the pre-show match.
That's what I do with your mom.
Yes, the pre-show. Shame, well, there's pre. But Sheamus and Damian Sandow.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. The best built match for a pre-show dark match, pretty much, nobody's going to see that they've ever done.
Well, the most built.
True. Yeah.
Brogue kick 1-2-3.
Well, I think that's my problem with all of Payback, actually. One of the reasons why I'm not excited for it. Basically, I go 1 3/4, brogue kick 1-2-3. Like, and that's pretty much the entire event. That kind of sums it up for me. I can tell you how many stars every match will be, and I can tell you who wins. And I need one or two things when I'm ordering a pay-per-view to really get me excited for it. Either I need to really be excited for the quality of matches, even if I know who's going to win.
Mm-hmm.
I got to be like, oh, shit, that's going to be a great match. There's going to be a lot of them. Or I got to not know who's going to win and be like Ryback and Punk at that one point, right? Where you're just
right.
Like, yeah, which way are they going to go? I think they're going to go this way, but I can't guarantee it. So... You know, that sums up this whole thing. Yeah, we know bro kick 1-2-3 in 3 or 4 minutes and 1 3/4.
Yeah, that's a pre-show. Okay, I think there's the other one that I'll put out is that I want to see something happen. So they want make you want to see something as well. You know,
it could be a surprise or
not even a surprise. It's just the I wanted to say trying to think of...
You wanted to see Chris Benoit win the title at WrestleMania.
Yeah, but that was a little bit of a surprise because there was that Hunter influence. It's kind of like with CM Punk, I wanted to see CM Punk win at that Money in the Bank, but the contract, there's reasons where maybe not. So that plays into your Ryback Punk a little bit. I wanted to see CM Punk and The Rock at Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
And they brought it to me and I got it and so I wanted to see it. You know,
but it was one of the few times you weren't wondering about an actual outcome of a match is the reason why, you know.
But I still wanted to see the match.
I see what you mean. Well, that's it. That's what goes back to where I talk about a bunch of good matches. To me, I was going Rock versus CM Punk at the Royal Rumble. I thought it would be a good match. I thought it's an intriguing matchup.
I guess, you know, okay, I'll give you the intriguing. It might not have been I wasn't expecting the catch-as-catch-can style here, but... Intriguing.
I pretty much expected 3 3/4, and we pretty much got 3 3/4.
Yeah.
But yeah, intriguing. It's just, it's fresh. It's whatever, right?
Yeah, even after it showers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the first match on here is Caitlyn versus AJ Lee for the Divas title.
Let's talk the Monday Night Raw segment. You go first.
I love that segment. That segment... Everybody played their role from Big E coming out to Caitlin's like, what? And then he goes to kiss, does the drop, and then I thought AJ cut a really great Mean Girls promo on Caitlin. Now, Caitlin, the crying, the acting, whatever, but she did... You know, okay. I'm not Meryl Streep, expecting Meryl Streep here is basically the point. But it was It was good, and when she, I forget what she did, she called him a cow or something, trash, and Caitlin snapped and double-legged her and was starting to wail on her. That's what's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
And I just thought that to build up two chicks that hate each other match, that did it.
Well, that's it. I mean, you know what? That segment, it's funny because I know a lot of people didn't like it.
Yeah.
I didn't. I was like, I agree with you. Everybody played the role well. Like, I thought, like, the expression on Caitlin's face as AJ was walking away was perfect.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I thought the fact that, you know, the heel is just, she was so grating and annoying and I hated her.
Yeah.
But I was supposed to hate AJ.
Yes.
I thought, I mean, as soon as the Big E came out, having seen Langston on the stage with Ziggler and AJ earlier, I thought, okay, he's going to come out with the, he's going to play with her heart for about a month, and then he's going to turn on her costing the title in about a month. So I saw that swerve coming. I figured that's where they were going.
Right.
But I didn't think they were about to turn Big E. I didn't get that sense that they were doing that. But I thought it would, I thought they'd play it out a little bit longer. So I kind of wish they had to some degree. But the fact is, at this point, the babyface gets the heel down but doesn't fully get their pound of flesh, right?
Yeah.
So you're like, that's supposed to make you go, God, I can't wait to see her actually beat the hell out of her at the pay-per-view.
And in all fairness, it's because AJ only weighs a quarter of a pound.
Yeah, that much now?
So, yes.
She had a hamburger.
She did. Cheeseburger. But, yeah, so then again, it's not going to be great. I'm presuming AJ wins the belt.
I think so, yeah.
You know, but... And that's fine. And like you said, it's not going to be a great in ring, and nothing they're going to present to us.
No, it's going to be 1.25 stars.
Yeah,
4 minutes, and it'll be over.
Yeah, but as I said, dude,
and AJ wins.
Good angle, I mean, there, but
yeah,
but I don't. Yeah, I don't necessarily care. Same with here. I mean, we got Dean.
It made me care more than I could, than I was.
Oh sure,
More than I expected. I'll give him that.
Oh, sure. But then we got Dean Ambrose versus Kane. I hope this is just so Dean Ambrose can get a win over someone who's seen as a bigger deal.
You don't think it'll be a disqualification? Isn't that in their contracts that they have to have every single match end by disqualification for the Shield?
Well, and not to spoil SmackDown.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, actually, let's get there later.
Well, no, I'm just saying that's yeah. You know, they don't have that anymore. So
I know. Once. I've kind of cooled on Ambrose. I'm finding him too goofy. Everybody likes him. And I'm finding everything up his facial expressions too goofy, and his persona and his selling and his offense even. I'm finding him too goofy. I'm cooling on him personally.
Well,
but
the guy,
I mean, it'll probably be decent.
The guy in the
2.75, Ambrose wins.
Yeah, I hope Ambrose, wins. I don't see Kane. I hope it would be the pinfall, as I said. I mean, if you're going to do something with these guys, at least give Ambrose a win over Kane. And Kane won't be hurt by the loss. Ambrose will be helped by the win. So, I mean, like you said, it probably will be a DQ leading to the tag. But I tell you, the guy that I've been most impressed with the Shield, and probably actually, we talked about Daniel Bryan, and last week, is he the best ever in his hot month? But the guy I've actually been most impressed with in WWE since WrestleMania, probably, has been Seth Rollins.
Oh, Seth and Daniel Bryan had a wicked match on Monday.
And yeah,
just... and you know what? I mean, I still say, if I've always said, and I really do believe that Roman Reigns is going to end up being the biggest star of the group, but Seth Rollins is absolutely, much like Daniel Bryan, showing that type of in-ring workability can be invaluable to them right now.
Well, it is. And as I said, and his being kind of the knee being his kind of gimmick, for lack of a better thing, using a lot of knees. I don't know. Seth Rollins is a guy that I'm really high on, and I think it'll just be he's in for the
Roman Reigns is, I mean, he's basically a Raw rookie. Out there is the thing, and he's done well considering that. I mean, the thing about him is he's using the spear. You talk about the knee. Did you see the Superman punch he did there?
Yeah.
You know, he's been using when he turns that into his finisher, because it looks so cool and great in slow motion. If they change that to his finisher instead of the spear, which is being done to death, that will help him big time.
Well, and as long as he remembers to bounce off the ropes,
yeah,
he'll be fine.
Honestly, he should. I mean, it looks great that way.
Yeah. No, I. just see, did you see that one where he got whipped into the ropes and forgot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's very raw.
That was not, yeah, literally. That was not a good match. But I hope Dean Ambrose, I'm pulling for Dean Ambrose over Kane, let's put it that way. But
again, yeah, well, I know it's going to be Dean Ambrose over Kane, 2 3/4.
I don't know. Still could get Kane by DQ. Really? No, you could, though. I mean, you could.
Yeah. It'd still be 2 3/4 and the title isn't changing.
No, the title's not changing, but I think Dean Ambrose needs to get the win since it's a singles match.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't one of those times where he can, where they can afford to lose.
I think
lose
he will. I mean, I really do believe he'll get the win.
I hope so, yeah. I don't trust him to do anything right now when they're writing this.
Shane, by the way, backstage was, I don't know. I really found him funny. Even though he's turned into a Muppet. I mean, he's a Muppet.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But him sitting there going, you guys are getting a title shot? How is this happening?
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
And then hugging Vicky, and I couldn't help it. I was laughing.
Yeah, yeah, that was good. Let's go. Well, Intercontinental Championship match. Fandango hasn't passed all his concussion tests, so he's out.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's Miz, Wade Barrett, and Curtis Axel.
So 2.5 stars, and Curtis Axel gets the title, and I'd rather it was on Fandango.
I'd rather it on Curtis Axel.
Well, see, the thing is, I don't want to see Curtis Axel. I don't want to see Fandango higher on the card, and I'd like to see Curtis Axel higher on the card still than Fandango. And winning the title makes you lower on the card.
Well, I mean, but the thing is they haven't. I get the feeling.
Done any favors to Curtis Axel?
I just get the feeling that they get on these kicks sometimes where they want to try to help that. And I said, Dean Ambrose in the U.S. Title, I sense that they wanted to do that. And he's in there with.
Yeah, but they want to, but they don't
well,
follow through with
he's
it.
He's in there with Kane, who's a established upper mid to main event guy, right? I mean, he's flipped back and forth. So that's one thing. Who knows where Curtis Axel will go? I mean, again, they consider Miz an upper mid card to main event guy, right? An upper mid guy, at least at this point. So they do. I mean, it's fucking retarded, but they do. I mean, they don't have anybody else.
Yeah.
So those are their guys. I mean, to me, Wade Barrett loses a title in my hopes that he goes on and win Money in the Bank.
Yeah, well, that would be awesome because he's the guy of the three that should be getting a push that should try and build as a star. But my prediction, skull-crushing finale, and then Curtis Axel pulls out Miz out of the ring and steals the 3 count for the winner. Or Bullhammer, the other way around. Bullshit. He won't actually do anything. They won't put him over as being great or actually winning or beating anybody other than Sin Cara.
My prediction?
Pain. Yeah.
But I think that I would say.
So 2.5 stars, 2.25 stars, probably 2.5.
Bullhammer.
Their three ways are usually good.
Bullhammer, Barrett gets out to the perfect plex. The only thing I will say about Curtis Axel, while I like his stick and I thought he's been doing better on the mic late, is too much saying perfect.
Oh, yeah. I absolutely perfect. Using his father's catchphrase, his father's goddamn finisher. I think all this, I don't think that's the way to go. But again, I think they see him as being a guy who's not a main eventer, but a guy who can be an annoying heel to get heat. That's where it's starting to look like.
Yeah, I mean, it's we'll see. I guess you know what I mean. Like, so we'll see. But I mean, I would think Curtis Axel, and I like that move. The next is a tag title with Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins against RK No.
Hmm.
What the fuck? I told you. You're talking about the how there's some hope and some thing here, and then let's go to the app. There's Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton watching this match. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was odd.
Uh-huh. That wasn't odd. That was fucking retarded.
Yeah.
This whole thing is just, I mean, now they're going to do it, and who gives a fuck?
Well, here's the thing. This should be this has a chance to be the best match on the show.
Oh yeah,
Daniel Bryan is still getting a massive, massive push.
Oh,
and it's just part of a longer storyline. They're taking their time with it, which I don't mind. So,
okay, yeah, they're taking their time to build what?
Daniel Bryan versus Randy Orton next month instead.
At Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
Instead of against John Cena, babyface versus babyface.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So John Cena fights Ryback again?
I bet Mark Henry.
Well, Mark Henry is back next week.
And they did a great video for him.
They did do a great video.
Which makes me think they're going to do something with him. So that's my guess. But you know what? Or it could be. I wouldn't mind Ryback wins the title and it's Daniel Bryan versus Ryback at the SummerSlam. That makes sense too. Though I think, again, if you turn Orton heel, tell you the truth, Orton and Bryan shouldn't just have one match. They should be going for 2 to 3 months. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it'll happen. I mean, let's now get to the SmackDown. Basically, they had the, Kane and Bryan and Orton finally be the ones to get a clean, true victory over the Shield as a tag team trios match, I guess you would call it, or six-man.
Right, six-man, yeah.
Yeah, on SmackDown. And to me, the fact that they let it be the LaBelle lock or the no lock, that Daniel Bryan tapped out, I think it was Rollins.
I think so, yeah.
That we haven't seen it. Like I say, we've seen the spoilers. To me, that signifies just how high they are on Bryan right now. And they turned it over big. Now, it sucks that it's on SmackDown and all, but the fact is that they finally had somebody beat the Shield. It wasn't the fucking Undertaker doing it. It's Daniel Bryan. They make it a big deal.
I don't know if they make it a big deal. We have to wait and see.
Apparently, they from what we understand, or from my understanding, is they put it over really big.
Yeah, apparently.
At least in the ring.
Apparently, Randy Orton turned heel.
You know what? Watching SmackDown, I never felt that was a full heel turn.
I didn't either. Cole called it that way. But I mean, but from the spoilers, it was Randy Orton turned heel. From the spoilers, they put this over like a big deal. I'll play wait and see mode with this because, as I said, I mean, they're gonna
But it is a big deal. I mean, is it the right move? I think it's the right move for Daniel Bryan to beat them. I think it should have been on a pay-per-view or even on a Raw that was well-built instead of just a throwaway SmackDown match. But the right move.
There's no such thing as a well-built Raw. So, no, really. I mean, they're fucking writing – this is Nitro. They're writing the show as they go.
That's true.
So there's no such thing as a built-up anything anymore. It's either it happens on a throwaway Raw or a throwaway SmackDown. More people will see it on a throwaway Raw. Probably about 1 million more people will see it on a throwaway Raw. That's about it. Is this the right move? Sure. They play it as a big deal? Maybe. Is anything a big deal in wrestling anymore? No. So it's just a matter of
it's a bigger deal than winning pretty much any title right now.
Beating the Shield.
The way they've done it, it should be. We'll see how it comes across. I think it's going to come across well.
They've already started. If these guys were still the unstoppable forces that had never lost at all, that's one thing. But they've lost some matches. They're in and out, and there's DQs, and there's
not things. Like this though. Not like
this. Whatever. It's nothing. It's Daniel Bryan won in booking sense. If you go back in the history books 10 years later and see this, there's a win on here. But is it going to make any difference now? Does he win? Is it a choke slam or is it a no lock? Does that matter shit at SummerSlam? No.
We'll see.
It doesn't. But if Randy Orton turns on Daniel Bryan here, fine.
Which I expect.
Fuck.
I don't know that it's going to be a full heel turn again.
I think Randy Orton is going to be a fucking babyface for the rest of his goddamn career at this point. And then every two months they're going to turn him heel.
Well, here's the thing, though, that you have to keep in mind. Randy Orton right now takes on Daniel Bryan. Even like if they had they hadn't ever had them interact and they kept Randy Orton as a babyface. And they put him in the ring in 2 weeks against Daniel Bryan, he'd be getting the heel reaction. He can be a heel against Daniel Bryan and be the babyface against everybody else. I expect him probably to turn on him, but I still don't think it's going to be a heel turn. I think it's going to be just they don't like each other. Or I could even see Daniel Bryan being the one to turn on him, just being one of those storylines in a babyface versus babyface. Daniel Bryan would be the babyface over him because right now he's the hotter character, he's more popular, and he's the underdog. He's the underdog against everybody, which is part of what makes him work. But Randy Orton doesn't make him necessarily a heel.
Yeah, you know? It doesn't matter then. That's fine then. I mean, they're going to do this. They don't like each other. Neat. whatever, yeah. right? I mean, that's
it'll be good stuff. It'll be good matches. Sure. I think it's part.
It'll be worse to me than Randy Orton and Christian.
No, I think it'll be about as good, maybe even more heated. And Daniel Bryan, like I said, I see this as just being part of his ascension. When he gets into a feud, one-on-one feud with arguably one of the three biggest stars in the company, and ends up going over. That's part of the career trajectory pushing this guy up.
Oh yeah, yeah. And if that were to ever happen, that would be great.
It might not, but it might. I think right now he's the guy. I think they know that.
I don't think they have a clue.
Okay.
So, but I'm inhaled. Yeah. Is it better than Randy Orton against Fandango? Yeah. You know. But and is Daniel Bryan fantastic? Yeah. But again, the way that they're doing these, and as I said, the fact as long my big point here is as long as they are, and I've said it three times in the show already, as long as they're writing Raw as Raw is on.
Well, didn't the guy in charge of Raw just get fired again a couple weeks ago? The guy.
Well, they've had three guys, I think, in 2013.
Yeah.
In charge of Raw, and I mean, so it's three. So I mean, as I said, as long as they're doing that, though, then there's no vision, and as long as there's no vision, then nothing will mean anything.
But there is a vision. There's always been a vision, and the vision was always at the end of the day Vince McMahon.
What? No.
For good or for bad, there's always a vision.
But there isn't one. There isn't a vision. There is no long-term vision right now for who's going to do what. Other than The Rock is going to fight Brock Lesnar.
Maybe.
You know, there's nothing. So, I mean, so what does it do? Wrestling. They're on the right path. They're not on a path. They're running through a grass field.
I never said they're on the right path. Then it's a different thing. What I'm saying is Daniel Bryan is going to be getting a push.
Maybe.
Daniel Bryan will succeed in their push despite them. And that'll be good.
Today.
Yeah, that'll be good. I believe they could fuck it up down the road. It could be, but I think it's going to be good. Like I believe more in Daniel Bryan than anything else. And like I say, there is a vision. It is Vince McMahon. There is another vision. It is Hunter. They don't always see eye to eye.
Really? Well, what if you just take the ring bell?
Fuck. Yeah, actually, we got to talk about that.
Yeah. Let's just finish these last three matches on Payback, and then we'll do that. But to me, just to wrap up on Daniel Bryan, could Daniel Bryan do this? Yes. Will Daniel Bryan get a push? Probably. Will that push be succinct? No. And in the end, that'll be what kills it. So.
We'll see. I think like I say, I have a sense that he is the first time since The Rock, you know, well, actually probably for the first time since John Cena was rapping. I have a sense that this is a guy who's about to get over huge.
I have a sense that for the first time since John Cena was rapping that we've got a guy that can get over. I don't have a sense since the first time that John Cena was rapping that there's someone that can take advantage of that. Because there isn't. There is that person doesn't exist, and that's the point. Is that there's no the guy with the pencil doesn't know what the fuck they're doing. So a million monkeys, a million typewriters, sure, but the odds aren't that.
Okay, I'm going to give you this as an example. Eric Bischoff never knew what the fuck he was doing. There was still a point where his product got over huge. You know what I mean?
Because Eric Bischoff had an idea. He had one succinct idea that let's get the outsiders, let's turn Hogan heel, let's run him out, let's put Sting in the rafters, let's build a Hogan and Sting for a year and a half, and boom, 97. Did he know how to end it? Did it all fall apart? Fuck yeah. But he had an idea, and that's what brought him to the dance. There is no idea right now. There is nothing that's driving the company, and there is nothing long-term that's going to make sure that Daniel Bryan is the next guy.
But the thing is, that's how it starts, though. There was no long-term plan for Steve Austin when he became Stone Cold Steve Austin. When he's jobbing out to Savio Vega in Caribbean strap matches.
Told you that because, he jobbed out to the Caribbean strap match, and then he won the King of the Ring, and he only won King of the Ring because of the curtain call. Yeah. But he took advantage of that, cut that promo. Austin 316 again, though.
They didn't have a plan for him. It was when he was inevitable, when they couldn't ignore it, that they developed a plan for him.
And
that's what I see with Daniel Bryan.
This not recently, but we've talked about this probably about a year and a half ago, in that the other thing that they had was Steve Austin, in terms of when it got undeniable, is they were taking water coolers out of Titan Towers at that point. There was a Hogan was kicking Vince's ass, and they were in the fight of their life. There is no fight right now. They're paying dividends to get rid of money that's sitting in a fucking $1 billion or $1 million cash account in their corporation. There's no need. Whatever, they're going to get. What, WrestleMania was at, what, $13 million gate? Like, fuck. They don't. There's no need here. And until there's a real need and desire, would it be nice? Sure. Is making some money worse than not making any money? Fine. But there's not going to be that necessary driving force. The only time, I bet you the necessary driving force, and the only time where this might coincide and succinct, is when storyline becomes reality and they hand Hunter the pencil and he has something to prove. Then I could see it.
Maybe. But here's what I see. I see Daniel Bryan being inevitable. I see Daniel Bryan eventually becoming the biggest star in the company. I see them getting behind him because they realize they can't avoid it. I realize that they won't really necessarily have a great vision or a great angle or storyline for it, but I see that pushing the popularity from ratings that sit between a 2.8 and 3 to ratings that sit between a 3 and 3.4, pay-per-view buys that are 80 to 90,000 being 110 to 120. I'm not talking Steve Austin because it's a different time. It's not possible in the same way.
No.
But for me, I'll get a better product, and I think it'll make the. Oh. I think it'll give a little. Let's put it this way: I'm not saying you're going to turn the product around in the same way like the Attitude Era. I am saying that it's going to give a little energy, a little shot in the arm. To the product, which is generally very stale, right? But again, when you're producing 6 hours worth of primetime television plus pay per views, you know, so a total of 27 hours a month that they're producing.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's going to be nearly impossible. I mean, it's like, again, another reason why is Payback not exciting? Because over the last 4 weeks, 5-6 weeks, however long since last pay-per-view, I've probably seen like 8 four-star matches on WWE TV.
Yeah, one of them live.
It's really hard to go, I got to pay for that Payback. I'm getting four-star matches regularly. I got the Cesaro Kingston. I got Del Rio. I got that Del Rio versus Swagger one from England. That was like 4 stars.
I got to tell you, I saw a 15-minute Cesaro Sami Zayn match on NXT tonight that was awesome.
Yeah, that's probably 4 stars,
yeah,
right?
Why?
You got, or close. But you know, you got a Daniel Bryan having 4-star matches all over the place. Rhodes versus Orton that came out of nowhere and was a great match. Like, I'm seeing all this great wrestling on TV now. It's like, oh man, I'm getting all the 4-star matches I need. I don't need to pay for a pay-per-view thinking I'm going to get. Like, do I think there's a chance it could be a 4-star match between Punk and Jericho? Absolutely. Do I need to pay for it? No, I'll just wait until I get the free one next week.
There's a chance. I don't know that there's a big chance because they've never really clicked. But I think the crowd puts it over.
Yeah. I think the crowd puts it over top.
Yeah, and
this is better built.
Yeah, and Punk has to win, obviously.
Yeah, Punk should win.
Yeah.
Well, actually, you know what? That's the match I'm not 100% sure. I think Punk doesn't have to win. I actually disagree with that because I think the storyline is Punk turning babyface and it's friction between him and Heyman. You booked me in this. I didn't even want to come back, and now I lost.
Heyman, or there's the Heyman, an inadvertent Heyman trip. You know, that old heel move.
Yeah. There's a lot of. I don't know that.
Yeah.
I don't know that Punk needs to win, and I don't know that he will win. But I also don't know. It's the only match I'm going. I'm not sure who's going to win.
Well, last thing I'll say Daniel Bryan. There's here is. You were talking about not necessarily being the Attitude Era and things like that, and I agree. For me, it's I'm looking at CM Punk 2.0.
Okay.
Flash in the pan, back to being just another a very entertaining guy, but
he's more than Punk was.
So I
think it'll be a little more,
but not much.
But you know, no. I know what you're saying.
But so then we go to Ziggler against Alberto Del Rio.
3 stars, Ziggler wins. Ziggler probably would have lost this if he hadn't had the concussion.
Yeah.
Probably would have lost the title. But having had the concussion and not really having any TV time with the belt as champion, I don't think they'll take it off of him.
Did you see Ziggler's tweet?
No.
About his the best time in his career. He always said, "What's your favorite moments in your career?" He goes, "I'm on a what did he say? He's like, I haven't been beaten in 5 weeks. This is the best time of my career."
That's awesome. <Yeah. laughs> Probably get some heat for that, but that's awesome.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, it was awesome. Then you get that three stages of heck match.
Watch your fucking mouth.
The Lumberjills, the tables match.
And the Mania, or not the Mania, the Raw main event with the Lumberjacks out there. Christ, was that lame.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and it got Ted DiBiase and JTG on television.
Well, I knew Ted DiBiase was still there because we saw him at the Royal Rumble. JTG was – I was like, holy fuck.
Oh, we did see Ted DiBiase, didn't we, at the Royal Rumble? I forgot about that.
He was at the Fan Fest. Yeah. He wasn't in the Royal Rumble or around wrestling and anything. But why isn't he at least on NXT? I mean, he's been healthy forever. He was at the Fan Fest. But,
yeah, to me, that's definitely an NXT guy, the kid.
Yeah, absolutely. Just put him on there and just get him going again because he does do the occasional house show thing. But
mm-hmm.
You know, I think he beat Hunico or something like that.
Yeah, so it's another guy, Hunico and Camacho, that have, you know.
Well, at least I've seen Camacho on NXT.
Yeah, well, not lately. He's in that same loop, I think, as Leo Kruger, who hasn't been on in a while. So,
No, it wasn't that long. It was probably 2-3 weeks ago, last time I saw him.
Who's he facing?
I think he faced Mason Ryan, if I remember correctly.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, okay.
Or maybe it was Langston. It was somebody like that. It was like a...
Oh, yes, it was Langston. That's right, it was Langston. That was maybe a month ago or so, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, probably a month ago, yeah.
But...
time flies when you're having a good time.
It is. Now, I will say in this three stages of heck match, a couple things that I thought of...
Fuck, I wish you would quit wearing like that.
I know. But Ryback putting people through tables... Okay, that's good. I like that.
Sure.
Building that match, I assume. And again, John Cena's propensity to not being good in tables matches. I think Ryback, that's the fall he gets to win, right?
That's logical. I think it depends on whether or not they see this going another month. If they see it going another month, then Ryback gets the very first fall, which is the Lumberjacks.
Yeah.
Because then, you know what? You beat me 2 out of 3, but I got that first fall. If that had been the match like it was supposed to be, ideally what you do is...
Or you just do the tables match first and then bring up...
Because you say that's his. You say that's his gimmick. I mean, his gimmick is coming out to an ambulance too, right?
I love that. I love that they've given him that big pop a pump siren instead of the feed me more thing, and he comes out to the... I mean, even after the ambulance goes, he should keep that.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and...
then he can get like a Sir Lancelot Camelot.
Yeah. You know, well, he's got the bald head, so he could. Yeah, but the chainmail thing.
He's got the goatee.
It's true.
Just needs to dye it.
That's true. He could maybe join the main event mafia. We'll get there. But
there'll be a new one.
We'll get there. But obviously Cena's winning this. But they said the good that's come out of it is the tables thing build with Ryback. And it is.
I would give a 15% chance that Ryback wins. I mean, it's not 100% slam dunk Cena wins it. I mean, I think it's very likely, but there is a small chance that Ryback wins it. You know, in the three stages of fuck. Match. Yeah.
But it's possible. The first one, stage is who. The second stage is gives, and the last stage is a fuck. So they've got it all. They've got it all plotted pretty good in terms of the booking, but I think that
again it's. But here's again what, like I said, I think Punk and Jericho, I think will be 3.75 stars, could get to 4 stars, legit, because of the crowd. I mean, I think Ziggler's probably going to bump his ass off. I think that's going to be 3 stars. You know, I think this will be 3.25, 3.5. I was surprised with the last match.
Yeah, that was actually.
And there'll be a lot of smoke and mirrors and gimmicks, and they'll, you know, probably be pretty exciting.
Well, he's,
I'm not looking at this in ring as being bad. I'm just looking at it going, is it better than what I can get for free on Raw? Is it a convenient time? Does anything matter? Like, those are the issues, right?
Yeah. Well, smoke and mirrors will probably be, he'll probably be one of the Lumberjacks. But I think the way that I would want, if we're going to do it,
R-Truth. You're talking about R-Truth.
What? Smoking?
R-Truth and Darren Young. Smoke and mirrors.
Yes. Or Cody Rhodes. You're only smoking mirrors. Whoa. You're only smoke and mirrors. But
see, Darren Young looks like John Cena, though.
That's true. That's true. Bizarro Cena. But I think that the way that if you're going to go the way that we kind of talked about it, it's very easy to book, is that you know, Cena barely escapes by the skin of his teeth, wins the match, comes out. The problem with this, and the problem with everything, is that he's going to escape by the skin of his teeth, throw Ryback in the ambulance, then he's going to come out on Raw smiling and telling jokes.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Though
he comes out hurting. He comes out hurting and selling it, and Mark Henry jumps him from behind and beats the shit out of him. Then you got a match.
Then it's a far more effective thing, yeah. But you're right, he'll come out joking and telling jokes and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And you know what? The thing is, even if he does come out selling like you're talking about and hurting, and Mark Henry jumps him and beats the shit out of him, the following week, he'll come out and do a Mark Henry impression, telling jokes and making fun of him. So at the end of the day, it's still going to be John Cena.
But the only way that can work is if he brings back X-Pac to be Mizark Henry. But he won't want to fucking do it. This is fucking stupid. It won't work. I hate this. Why do I have to be Mark Henry?
You gotta listen to our panel, guys.
Yeah, the DX panel, that's X-Pac all on there. That's tremendous. But that's the pay-per-view. It's probably a 6 out of 10, you know, above average, 5.5 to 6 out of 10, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's probably 5.5 to 6 out of 10. And it's probably 75,000 buys, actually.
Yeah.
70. Seven, I'll say 70,000.
Well, and let's be honest here, Extreme Rules tends to get a bit of a bump. For whatever.
What did Extreme Rules do? I don't even know.
I don't know yet. I haven't heard. But 10 to 2 anyway, and who knows. But and Money in the Bank, as we said, Money in the Bank really is the new Survivor Series, and it's the number 4, right? Sort of pay-per-view. It shares that
with the
Nation Chamber. So this is really in between. And in reality, what the fuck is a Payback pay-per-view? Right? They never had it before.
This year's, and it'll be named something else next year, too.
Exactly. It's this year's Over the Limit or whatever the they did last year, Between the Lines or whatever the fuck, you know? So that's the other thing, is it's got no name value, name recognition, nothing. It really, like you said, about 70, 75.
It's, let's put it this way. It sounds like the name of a TNA paper.
It does. I mean, is there a Phil
Collins song? And that's song the worst you can say.
Is there a Phil Collins song, Payback?
I think there is.
Well, there you go. See? I want to talk about the McMahon segment.
Yeah.
What the fuck was that?
Which one?
Oh, the fucking, well, I mean, okay, they're going to have an Iron Man match, and they're going to come back and forth, and they don't like each other, and you're not going to fight. Okay, that's old shtick bullshit stuff we've seen a million times of the power struggle of the McMahons.
You don't want to see the, that's it, but that's what, that's, when I look at Daniel Bryan, and I don't think it's going to be over the summer, I think it'll probably be sometime early next year, that he'll be inevitable, and they'll have to push him to the main event of WrestleMania, and it'll be fresh, maybe a little energy and shot in the arm, and it's good for me as a fan to watch. It's pretty obvious to me now. We talk about what's going to be their big summer angle. Their big summer angle is going to be this, their two alpha males and the struggle of power between the CEO and the chairman of the board who was removed from power and storyline and never given it back.
The Ewings.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's,
but this is their big storyline idea. And
what
and
the USA Network wants. That's what they want.
That's why it is happening, really?
That's why they're happening. That's the USA Network and Bonnie Hammer and them. They love the McMahons. They can't get enough of the McMahons. They think the McMahons are interesting, and they want to see more of them, and so that's why we're getting them all over the
ratings.
Summer.
Ratings show otherwise.
Well, I know.
Good God. There was that point where the two of them were fighting, and Stephanie goes, enough! And she had this screaming voice, and you're just like, that woman, how... That's the real Stephanie coming out right there.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. No, I know. How many?
It's like what a harpy.
How many? Just like how many former writers had flashbacks?
Yeah, no shit. Like just
a couple of points. Some of the funny stuff was, you know, don't beat up my dad. He's not getting any younger. I thought that was funny. To the same point though that Vince is growing back and re-dyeing his coif. You notice that?
Yeah. I noticed that.
Yeah, because he's having his
68, isn't he?
I think Vince is having his midlife crisis, because I'm pretty sure he's going to live to be 140. Yeah,
probably. You're probably right.
So, but
oh yeah, you and I will be dead and buried for years.
Oh yeah, our grandkids will be dead and buried, and Vince will still be ticking along. You're fired.
Probably.
But, you know, the other points that were just hilarious was when, you know, when Stephanie went to talk to Vince, and, you know, please, Paul, and all this stuff, and it's, and they're going back and forth, and he says, that's your problem. He says, you got to put business before family. It's about business. It's not about family. And I'm thinking, well, Stephanie knows how to do that. Where's Shane? And then my second thought was, business before family. Isn't there $100 million into a Senate campaign that says otherwise?
Yeah, no shit.
Fuck. So, those points made me laugh. And then he's, and the fact that
Kurt, he likes to present that as reality, even if it is.
Well,
those who didn't get to rewrite history.
I still love the, Vince trying to. I think Vince of all people realized what the fuck he did when he's like, Curtis Axel's beneath you. Then he paused. Sure, he's a talented kid. I'm like, no, it's too late.
Yeah, it's too late.
You fucking buried the kid.
Yeah.
Stupid fuck. But it's, yeah, just
senility.
And there was no point. Let's hug. What?
Yeah, I know. But even then, that hug was, oh, you know, and you know, I really actually would like to see that match. Oh, you know, I don't want to do it now. And it's just
you know where
stupid
I see,
and sniping.
You, you know where I see this going? You know where I honestly see this going? Because they want to do this through the summer, and they want to drag this out, and they can't do anything. They, you know, they could do stuff in the ring, but I see backstage sketches, backstage vignettes here, pre-tapes, Vince, Hunter, Stephanie, and Dr. Shelby.
That's very possible.
I undoubtedly see that throughout the story.
They love Dr. Shelby, so that's very possible. Dr. Shelby actually got a chant last time I was on TV.
Well, who doesn't?
Which was pretty funny.
Who doesn't love Dr. Shelby?
Yeah, that's true.
But you'll get. I
it's gonna be. It's probably gonna be though for the balance of the power of the company. Eventually, it's gonna be. The whole storyline is gonna come down to Vince's, whoever Vince picks against, is gonna be Hunter wrestling Vince's pick, whoever that'll be, and I don't know who that is. Probably Ryback.
Yeah, Hunter.
Probably Ryback. You know, yeah. So it'll be Ryback versus Hunter for the, and then it'll be. Who is Stephanie going to side with, her husband or her father? That'll be the that's the storyline. And, you know,
then she'll
end. And as long as – it doesn't matter, though. As long as I – what it won't make me do is go back to the Shane Helmsley or the Helmsley-McMahon era and watch the – or McMahon-Helmsley era, whatever the fuck it was called, and watch that Hunter versus Vince street fight for his daughter that they did.
Oh, yeah.
Remember?
When Steph turned heel,
the worst match. Holy fuck, was that bad.
That was, that pay-per-view was famous for three things. Stephanie turning heel, the culmination of the Big Show Big Boss Man feud.
Yes.
And Miss Kitty showing her titties.
Yep.
That was Armageddon.
Yeah, that was the best part of it.
Yeah. Smallest, but best. But I think...
That match was so bad. Here's the problem with that match. That match was at the time a 58-year-old CEO or chairman or whatever.
Former.
Ruining every... What's that?
Former WWF champion at the time.
Yeah, whatever. He ruined every gimmick that there was because it was... He was hit with everything. He was hit with chairs and trash cans and... Like, he was hit with everything and he wouldn't quit and kept fighting and never sold. And he just kept coming. And this... He was taking stuff that had put down previously people like Mankind... And Kane and The Undertaker and The Rock
Austin,
and Austin. Like, he was taking the stuff that actually had beaten them and kept on coming at them because he was fighting for his daughter at honor. And putting himself over so big,
he
ruined all sorts of gimmicks and guys.
Wow.
So that's why it was so bad.
You know, it's funny when you said 58-year-old Vince. I think you summed it up best when you said he's taking stuff and gimmicks.
Yeah. Probably 53, actually.
Yeah, but probably.
Still, you're right about that. Yeah, just that was the worst.
Yeah, that was. But I learned for more of it, as I said. And I mean, the kids are out of school, you know, hopping the bus, and the whole fam dam, we can come to Raw, right?
And do you think that their kids are going to show up on TV? Possible.
It's definitely possible.
Do you think it's going to lead to Vince, instead of having a Ryback, actually fucking doing a match himself. That's my fear.
Oh, Vincent, I mean, if they can build this and they think, I mean, they're going to live in their bubble and they're going to think they got something, like, that...
But instead of Vince picking a guy, do you think he's going to have a match?
It very well could be a WrestleMania match.
Yeah, it could be.
It very well could...
Ryback would be better.
Oh, yeah, but it, I mean, Ryback will take a much better pedigree than Vince, but mm-hmm. it's...
Oh, Vince has always taken a horrible pedigree.
Not as bad as his stunner.
No.
Oh, he got better at the stunner. But couldn't get much worse.
It's still bad.
But
that was so fucking funny.
That one flopping around like a fish. But
just total overselling.
I guess I don't know. The only other thing I've got, Raw again. We talked about 3.99 million viewers. So
yeah,
it was just again they're just on a downward, and that's all there is.
Well, 3.0, which is actually fairly solid for them right now.
Yeah, it's not about the rating. It's about the number of people watching, and that's the thing, because, 3.0.
I mean, it's Addy.
Hey, that's me.
It's summer.
Oh.
It's warm outside.
It's summer. Shit.
The people that can't come to the show or watch TV, they're outside
that's
doing stuff.
That's true.
Well, just wait till winter.
Yeah, but then it's too cold. People can't, people will be... buying Christmas presents. They won't be home.
Well, then we'll just wait till the spring.
Till the spring, but yeah, no, the spring could work. But you know what? Then there's
what about the fall? Maybe it'll pick up in the fall.
But everybody's out watching football in the fall, and then they're back to school. They got to study, so they can't.
By the way, we're making fun of this, but these are actual excuses you would hear from when old school promoters used to not draw.
Yeah.
They would give that excuse. They'd tell the boys, it's summer, so everybody's out. And then as soon as it became fall and they weren't drawing anymore, they would say, well, it's because everybody's watching football.
Yeah.
If it was just warm out instead, but there was nothing else going on.
If only it was summer.
If only it was summer. Like, that's literally what they used to do. It was, pretty famous thing. So.
Well, most promoters. Stu never did that.
No.
But that's because he didn't run in the summer.
Yeah.
Culminated at the Stampede. And then you didn't run again until September. That's how they always do it. But the other thing,
the way a lot of companies should do it, even WWE.
That's true. A couple WWE notes. One of the things that's been made a priority amongst the creative team is coming up with a return storyline.
Said the word creative team.
I know, writing team. I'm sorry. Coming up with a return
writing team.
Return angle.
Say idiots. Say idiots who are doing shit.
One of the things that's been made a priority of the cock-sucking motherfucks is coming up with a return angle or storyline for Christian.
Oh, good. Thank God. Because, it's so hard to do.
Yes. Yes, it is. Well, I mean, again, but this is part of this to me would be more of a...
It is better. It is. It's better that they want to bring a guy back with a storyline and give him a push and make him a big deal. Rather than just put him on TV. That said, it shouldn't be so fucking hard for a guy like Christian.
No, it shouldn't. And I mean, to me, immediately I plug him in with Dean Ambrose. Done.
Maybe.
I mean, there you are. Easy, right? So that's just showing, I guess, his return. Hopefully, will be within the next couple of months here. Also, let me just look. Well, I got some TNA stuff, but I just want to look through all the WWE, make sure we got it all kind of out of the way. Oh, the other thing is when they move, I guess when the Full Sail University, when they move, when NXT, when they move the facilities, I guess one person that's not going to be moving along with them is Skinner.
No, really? He's done?
Steve Kern.
After all these years?
Will be done. So what they're looking for now is someone, a new, and they're calling it in the – the position, I guess, they're saying a new general manager of developmental. Now, this isn't like a Vicky Guerrero book general. This is a real Dusty Rhodes. This is a real actual back general manager. So I guess my question to you is, do you think they kind of go outside to bring someone in, or does X-Pac get it?
No, I don't think X-Pac gets it. I definitely don't think there's any chance of that. And I'll tell you what. No, I don't, because I saw him at the Royal Rumble. I saw how bad he was shaking and looking like he had Parkinson's.
Yeah.
And so that's why I don't think.
Yeah, in terms of a general manager, you might be right there. But
I think that's why it won't happen.
Who do you think? Who do you think?
He looked too unstable to me, honestly.
Who would you think would be the odds-on favorite then? Like, is there like a list of people that you think that? Because again, this is up to Hunter. Hunter's hiring this guy or girl.
Yeah. It's
like Arn Anderson, maybe.
I don't think Arn Anderson. I could see. I mean, I think you know, it's you might not think it, but I think Billy Gunn would have a real good shot at it.
Actually, you're right. Or Road Dogg even.
Yeah, I could see Road Dogg having it as well. Yeah, either one of those two, I think, would have a leg up.
Literally.
I mean, I'm trying to think of who else is tight with him, but, you know.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it ain't going to be just incredible.
No.
It ain't going to be, as I said, it's not going to be Nash. It's not going to be, you know, Flair. It's, you know, so it's a matter of, Zed, and it's not going to be Ricky Steamboat. So it's, you know, as I said, that's why I thought maybe Arn Anderson, maybe take like one of the agents, like you said. I mean, Road Dogg's an agent.
I don't think Arn Anderson. I think they'll look for a younger guy as well than Arn. I don't think it'll be. I'm trying to think of somebody who is retired or has just retired. William Regal. I could see William Regal.
Regal's already down. Yeah, there. So that would be.
I could see him being a guy taking it over. Because he's close with Hunter.
Yeah, that's true.
And I see a guy who's kind of, you know, been there recently.
I like that. I like Regal as that choice.
Those are a couple of guys. I think Billy Gunn, Regal. I think those guys are. But who knows? I mean,
I think Road Dogg will work.
Even though you say it's Hunter's choice, at the end of the day, we could end up got some guy who used to produce Hell's Kitchen. Fucking getting in charge of this thing. Like, you just never know with WWE and the directions they go on these
But things. It is Hunter's choice. So, I mean, Hunter could choose that guy. Hunter's made some, you know, the former golf executive or LPGA golf executive. I mean, he's done some...
That didn't turn out.
No, but he's done some of those outside chats. Yeah. I just think here he's going to get a... I mean, this is basically your Jim Cornette... type position, right?
Yeah.
You're heading developmental for him, so or you're down there all the time for him. So, yeah, I think he's going to want to have someone that he trusts.
Booker T is another one I actually think could end up with that position.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, yeah. So there is there's lots of those odds, but Regal to me, is Regal's the best choice. I think. I'd agree.
Yeah.
Speaking of Hell's Kitchen, I told you that Maria Menounos was on Hell's Kitchen.
You did, yeah. You mentioned.
She's also on the latest edition of the Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast.
Oh, really?
Yes, she is.
Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting.
Kurt Angle has been on this one lately. Trish Stratus, too. So,
Trish Stratus?
Yeah, was on with Steve Austin, which would be tremendous. Because if you've ever seen some of the backstage stuff that they put on the Trish Stratus DVD of Austin and Trish just BSing, hilarious.
Yeah. No. Is that aired yet?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm avoiding the one with Lance Storm, but I'll listen to a lot of them.
Oh yeah, there are quite a number of. I said Terry Funk, Kevin Nash, Jim Ross. I mean, he's got Chael Sonnen. I mean, he's got some
that's great.
Some good guests there. So last WWE-ish note today. Just want to say happy birthday, turning 51 today is Virgil.
Oh,
he's spending his birthday all by himself.
Yeah, saw that joke coming.
Yeah, he didn't, because he was all by himself. See, but I just wanted to mention that.
I was going to ask you, was there a lot of people at his party?
Yes.
That's what I was going to set you up for it if you had just let me.
I know, but I'm better than that. Let me see if he's dressed up like Curly Bill. But TNA, they've got this Bound for Glory series coming up.
Yeah, so you do have the members. It's on the air. Probably, I guess, just kind of probably finished being on the air right now as we're doing this.
We used to be able to. It's over.
But we got the spoilers. So we got the spoilers. So
we used to be able to watch Impact and then do the podcast, but since they bumped it back that hour, it's just a little too late. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
but I did watch the. We talked last week about the Rampage. Angle and watched it, and it was, you know, it was decent.
Good.
Yeah, it was decent. They're a team now.
Well, yeah, but I'm fine with that. It's okay. Dennis Rodman can have a one-on-one match with a Randy Savage.
No, he couldn't.
Well, he did.
He did, but he shouldn't have.
But you know what? The point being that you can get away with that. If they spend enough time, I'm not talking teaching him how to wrestle. Like, the thing is about King Mo Lawal is that when they brought him in, they're trying to teach him to be a guy who can work 200 days a year. What they need to do with Rampage is teach him how to have that one match with Angle. Just teach him how to have that one,
yeah.
Set it up and rehearse and have that one match. Like, you know, like they've, you've seen happen many times. You've seen like a Floyd Mayweather or someone like that.
Right.
You know? Adam Pac-Man Jones. Remember how great he was in the ring and all he did. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Haven't seen
it. No, but I mean, you see, you know, Kevin Green was another one. And, you know, Malone and Rodman. Like, you just have to teach him about that one match. And that's what you need to do. And if you're going to hide him in one match, then you hide him in a match with an angle like they did with a Mr. T, and he just comes in and does two or three spots.
Ironically, I mean,
but again,
T.
You really need to – yeah, exactly, ironically, Mr. T. But again, which meant that Hulk Hogan had to carry the team. Mr. T might have been the better worker. But no, I mean, that's what you're going to do. I mean, but where do you build this for? I mean, if Bound for Glory should be Angle versus Jackson, and it should, then do you build this for that Destination X –
Special
night? Special that they're looking at running?
Not if that's an all X division show.
I don't. It doesn't.
And I don't give Rampage Jackson's first in ring for free.
Yeah, I don't either. But I think that looks to me like they will. But who knows?
Who knows? Who knows? I mean, do you do a tag match at Bound for Glory and have the one-on-one match in the cage at Lockdown?
Or Genesis.
I'm thinking the cage fighter in the cage.
Yeah, it makes sense. Cage fighter in the cage.
You know, that was the Angle Joe match they did, that MMA hybrid type style match, right?
Yep.
In there. So, I mean, to me, that would be how I would do it. Is a tag, yeah. And then all one-on-one.
So tell me, when you saw those guys facing off like that, and there was a lot of... what was good about it was just the intensity both of them showed.
And the integrity and the intelligence.
That said, what did you think when you looked at them? Did you go, man, this guy will kill this guy, or man, that's a good fight? Like, did it in any way you go, what's a real fight like these guys going to – did you have any of that?
I had no Tyson and Austin,
no?
Or even Mayweather.
Well, even Tyson Austin, I knew Tyson would kill him.
Or Mayweather and Big Show. You know, I didn't have that. I want – that would be cool. It'll be good. It's the opponent that he needs, but no, I don't
like – I was just looking at it like, fuck. Jackson in a real fight would just kill this guy at this stage, you know, where they're both, you know, you just destroy him. But, you know, I guess it doesn't matter. He's Kurt Angle. He is legit.
Yes, he is. And I mean, Kurt Angle will have the backing of the main event mafia.
Yeah.
So
Sting's returning the main event mafia, and Jackson looks like he'll be a part of that too.
Well, I don't know. That's way early speculation. Is that? Yeah, and I think that's just a couple of logic leaps. That if Angle goes back into it, then he's buddies with Rampage, then Rampage will come into it. I don't know. If you're gonna do an old guy, but the thing is that was an old against a new, and it fucked up for a number of reasons, but. I just don't need to see the old guys against aces and eights, which is what it's building to, right? Of course.
Yeah.
You know.
But they don't have as many old guys. You know, they really don't have as many old guys as they did then.
No, that's true.
When Main Event Mafia and Sting and Booker T and Nash and Big Papa Pump and, you know, I mean, they don't.
Well, the way
they don't have nearly that anymore.
No, that's true. The way I look at it is that you've got, you know, Sting. Matt Morgan,
yeah,
you know, I guess Angle and Rampage, I guess,
yeah, something like that, maybe.
Those would be those four. And I don't know if I can't think of anybody else. It's
Hulk Hogan, sort of.
Well, yeah, I guess Hogan, sort of, because I'm looking at the other.
Brooke's still about to turn. Fucking, who gives a fuck?
You could put Gunstorm in there.
Hogan, kill me. You put Gunner in, did you say?
Gunstorm.
Oh, Gunstorm. Yeah, I suppose you could, yeah.
They're the tag champs now, right? So,
yeah, for a little while. I don't think that'll last long.
No. I mean, you know what? You got both Rude and Aries and Daniels and Kazarian in the Bound for Glory series.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's not to say you can't have tag.
So, who are the 12 guys in it?
Yeah, you got it there? I got it right in front of me here. Yeah, 12 guys. We had, well, we know Hernandez qualified, right? Joe qualified. But Jeff Hardy's in it, Bobby Roode, Chris Daniels, Kazarian, as I said, Austin Aries, Magnus, Jay Bradley qualified there, Joe Park is in it, AJ Styles is in it, and Ken Anderson is representing the Aces and Eights in it.
Okay. All right. There's a lot of guys who could win. There's some interesting guys that aren't in there, but like James Storm or Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
It's got to be AJ. It has to be AJ.
Yeah. I mean, I would think I guess what do you come down to? I mean AJ, Jeff Hardy, Ken Anderson, and like I don't know, Daniels.
Joe.
Or Joe. Yeah, Joe. There you go, yeah. Joe. As your final four, maybe? I mean, I could do that. I could do. I mean, because yeah, I think you'd have to have Anderson as the Aces and Eight guy, right?
Yeah, I think so. Another thing I really like, though, is the idea that means Bully Ray's going to have the belt for a full year.
A full year?
You know, I mean, he might lose it.
No, he just won it at Lockdown, right?
Did he win it at Lockdown? I thought he won it at Bound for Glory.
No,
that's right. That Jeff Hardy won it there.
Yeah, being booed. Remember in Phoenix?
Yes, that's right. Against Aries.
Against Aries. And yeah, it's a Lockdown. But
that's right. And he also got the Destination X where Sabin cashes in. That could go that direction again out of nowhere. So you never know.
Which would be... To me, that's dumb. Because I don't think Sabin is the guy. You had a chance to maybe put it on a guy, you know, that could have a chance, but I don't think Sabin is going to beat Bully Ray. I mean, I don't see it.
Well, let's just throw this out there. If Sabin gets it and is a babyface champion who cashed it in, who out of that 12 is the guy he defends against at a Bound for Glory?
Well, you could do, I mean, there I could do a Sabin Hardy, I could do a Sabin Joe, I could do a Sabin AJ. You know, hell, Sabin Aries is the two guys that have cashed in. And
actually, I love that. That would be awesome.
And two guys that both cashed in and won.
Yeah. So give us a 4.5-star match.
I'm the reason you're the champion.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
if I didn't create this.
So, I mean, there is storylines you can do around it. So even if you say he's not the guy, there is some intriguing things you could do.
The thing that I look at is a couple of things is, I mean, I like Bully Ray as the champion, but Jesus fuck, are all roads not leading to Bully Ray and Hogan?
Oh, God, I know.
They are. And he's been teasing it. I mean, he does the teases on Twitter.
Especially when Brooke turns. The question is, is that where Brooke turns? Or does she turn before that?
No, she's got to turn. That's the big question. She's got to turn before.
I think so too.
To play with Hogan's head. I mean, that to me is like I think that's where they're going. And Bully Ray just should not be the champion at that point. So maybe Sabin through some sort of, you know, fuck up, he gets the belt.
Yeah, could be. And, you never know, man. You never know.
And I would really enjoy, because part of what made last summer so enjoyable was that you had the Bound for Glory series, you had a great champion, you know, to do. Hell.
Well, the thing, part of it was you had Rude, who looked for sure like he was going to hold the belt to Bound for Glory, you know, and then you had that kind of
twist
wrench being thrown in.
Yeah.
That you weren't sure where they were going to go and were they going to go with this? Weren't they going to go with this? And you're back and forth. And even after it happened, you're like, where are they going to go? How are they going to do this? And it made it so that, again, you're getting good matches. But it was intriguing because it's like you don't know where they're going to go. It's fresh. It's a new thing. It was good, right? It was so much better at the WWE at the time. And that is one of the good things about Bound for Glory is it's happening right when WWE's in, you know, it's lull, right?
Yeah, well, that's
post-SummerSlam lull. So
that's right. Well, I mean, it's,
and again, I'm consistently, when I talk about these 4-star matches, it's still too much Raw and too much SmackDown and too much whatever. I'm consistently enjoy the TNA product more.
Yeah, no, I so have I. And again, part of that is that it's 2 hours a week and not, as you said, yeah, six.
It's too much more, much fresher and much better continuity. And yeah,
I think, oh yeah. Well, and that continuity is so important. Destination X is going to air on from Louisville, Kentucky on July 18th.
Okay.
Cool. So that's that. So I think and for all you people,
is that in the regular TNA time slot, or is that
it is? Yeah, it's Impact time slot. Yeah,
it's cool though. I love that they didn't drop it. I really, really
me
do.
Me too. And it came kind of come out of nowhere when they were talking about it. And I was like, oh yeah,
caught me off guard.
Yeah, that is good. So, I mean, I just look at. And the other thing that I like about the fact that about this is that there aren't as many pay-per-views. So even if, say, Chris Sabin were to cash in and be successful, he doesn't have to defend it on monthly pay-per-views. So you don't have to go and find an opponent for him every month that isn't one of these 12 guys in the Bound for Glory series. Absolutely. Right?
So, you just have to have a rematch with Bully Ray.
You have a rematch with Bully Ray that you build to big exactly. August Impact. You give him a couple of title defenses against you. Maybe you build up to a September against Kurt Angle, match who's not going to be in, or a James Storm or something to that effect, right?
Or even one of the other guys from Aces and Eights after you never know. After Bully fails to do it, you never know.
You could,
right?
Yeah, still sick Devon on him. You could still, Ken Anderson's going to be a thing. So
Ken Anderson's in the Bound for Glory.
There's a few guys there, right? So Knox and Gallows and some guys there, right? So
yeah, he could run against all the members. You never know.
That's true. He could do it.
He'd be the underdog against the Gallows or a Knox because obviously the size difference and everything. Even though he's a champion, so you never know. If it's done right, it could be intriguing.
Well, and I said, and then I see the difference, I guess, with it is that I see some very real possibilities in that. The only problem I have with it is the Markism that's Hogan, with this wanting the belt thing, right? Still, yeah. So
yeah, he wants the belt. He gets one run with that, and then he goes with the WWE, and that's his final match of WrestleMania.
Yeah, yeah. Because doesn't he renews his contract right before Bound for Glory every year, doesn't he?
Right before, yeah.
So, I mean, there's some interesting things. Obviously, Joe Park is going to be the, I guess Bradley and Joe Park are kind of the Robbie E of this year. And
I suppose.
And a lot of it is largely the same, in terms of guys. So, you can give Magnus.
No, there's a lot of different guys. Last year, you had the Pope in it. You had Robbie E. You had Angle. You had Storm. You had RVD. Yeah. That's 5 out of the 12 right there.
Yeah. Well, that is okay. So instead, now you have Kazarian, Bradley, Park, Hernandez, and I'm trying to think of who else.
Was Hernandez not in it last year?
I don't think Hernandez was in it last year. Kazarian wasn't. Was Daniels in it last year?
Yeah, he was in it. Yeah.
Okay. Bradley obviously wasn't in it last year, and no. Joe Park wasn't in it last year.
No.
So, that's it. Magnus was in it. Samoa Joe was. Yeah, he was definitely in it. Bobby Roode wasn't in it either because he was a champ.
Bobby Roode was a champ.
So there you go. So that's there's your five.
And. Yeah, and Aries wasn't in it.
Hey, oh, no, he wasn't, was he? So there you go. So there's another guy that we were forgetting. So half the guys are new, half the guys are old. I guess it's because Bobby Roode and Aries were in that, were a big part of it, that I just, I think of them being in it. And so it's, and again, Joe Park was a big part of his feud with Bully Ray last summer, too.
Exactly, so, that's right, yeah. That's awesome.
What I'm kind of looking at is that this summer seems to have the same sort of possibilities as last summer.
Oh yeah, no, exactly.
You know,
I'm far more excited for this than I am a summer of the fucking you know, McMahon.
You know, that said, we could be doing a beginning of August show and just cursing the hell out of them because of stuff.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, so there's potential here, though. And I have a lot more trust in TNA than I do with WWE right now. So
Well, it's just like you say, it goes down easier because it's 2 hours a week, too.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if it's not good, I can go, oh, fuck, it wasn't good, but I watched it on my PVR in 45 minutes. Whereas the time commitment it feels like for WWE every week.
Well,
even if you are going through on your PVR, just, you know.
Yeah. And I mean.
So it feels, when it's not good, it feels like a chore.
It really does. And with a lot of it, I'm looking at, you know, the Divas or the Knockouts. You know, really good with Mickey James and Terrence Rell and Gail Kim. You know, that's, and Velvet Sky even. I mean, not in the ring, maybe, but the angle, I mean.
Yeah, she looks amazing. That's the thing again is they don't have a really deep roster of Knockouts.
Right.
Or even a lot of fresh people. I mean, they were not talking about new talent here. But you know what? It's still good. It's really good, and it's well-booked. And you know what? Mickey James is the heel. Like her, you know, last week against, what's her name? Taylor Hendricks there. Just her condescending attitude and everything. Like, it really worked. So it's far more intriguing. It's far more natural again.
Yeah.
Than what you see in WWE most of the time. Fuck, I can't stand the Bellas.
No?
No.
You're not supposed to.
No, but not in the right way. It's turned the channel heat. It's X-Pac heat. It's not, you know, well, for me.
I'm anxiously anticipating Total Divas on July 28th. I will be, I will watch that episode.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to watching the real life bachelor party. And congratulations, finally, after almost like a dozen years dating, to Tyson Kidd and Natalya, yes. Maddie Neidhart.
They were preschool sweethearts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally, they've always been. Yeah. No, that's cool.
Yeah, no, that is. That's really cool. So, I was going to say, Impact tonight, just basically some. It was basically all qualifying matches for the Bound for Glory series, which again, I always liked those when they had those special Raws that they used to do to be able to like say to get into the chamber, you get into the chamber,
get into the Royal Rumble, get into the King of the Ring, whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah, even any of those matches, I always enjoyed those because it was like
Felt like something was on the line.
Every match had a point. And again, now we're leading the Bound for Glory series, and
every match, that's one of the things that was really strong last year, was every single time you watched every single match, there was a point to it. Whereas in the WWE, I'm going to get, Sheamus versus Cody Rhodes again on Monday.
Yeah.
And it's going to be no fucking point.
And we're live. Right? So every other week we're live, so there's that. I mean, we used to read the spoilers. I don't remember. Was TNA live last summer?
That's when they went live.
That is when they went live.
Remember, because that was when they were talking about how people in the company were just more more upbeat because they were live. Now, that said, ratings are shitty. Part of that, I think, is the hour change. Part of that is the competition they've been facing. But part of that is just wrestling's not hot. And for, you know, TNA hasn't really taken off. But then again, they've been kind of as fine as the product has been. Like we say, this is when the product gets really interesting coming up. This is their Royal Rumble season where it starts to build up, right?
It really is, yeah. This is their road, and it's a lot longer road as well, which is what I like. Some would say, I would almost say it's a possibility that this is too long. I don't know yet. I don't know yet. I mean, I would have
probably started Bound for Glory sometime in August, like beginning of August, personally, and maybe late July, something like that.
I just think
you
push it back a month, you know, like that was what we did notice last year, is that they ran out of steam in September, and now you don't have those pay per views you need to fill, so you can do that essentially, right?
Yeah.
So, but I think that. You said a lot of the qualifiers, maybe not a lot of, matches that are in doubt, you know, maybe the main event. But like when I look at Bound for Glory qualifier here is Kazarian and Daniels against Storm and Gunner, right?
Yeah.
You know, okay, well, that one, okay, I could see them going either way with it, probably, right? We've gone through who's in. So, but I mean, actually, yeah. It's Crimson against Joseph Park, right? I mean,
Okay.
So Joseph Park's the obvious winner there, right?
Was it Crimson? It was 2 years ago. He almost won the thing.
No, he was still undefeated or something.
He almost won the thing because he was undefeated, and then an injury took him out late.
That's right. That's what it was. He was in the top four, and then an injury.
Now he's in developmental. Where he should be. I do think he has potential. But.
He does have potential, but yeah, there's definitely a developmental. But I mean, here's a nice one: Matt Morgan, Magnus, Kenny King, and Rob Terry. You know, so Magnus wins that one, but and then Eric Young against Austin Aries. I mean, that's an obvious one, right?
Yeah.
You know, and then it's
fun though. That'd be a fun match.
It should be, yeah. It should be a fun match. Now, the only thing that would make that wouldn't make it fun is that ODB. We see a video looking at ODB showing up on Eric Young's fishing show where she reminds us that they haven't defended the Knockout tag titles for like 6 months. That would be funny.
I thought they actually got rid of those.
Well, yeah, I know, but I think that's
actually kind of funny.
That was going to be some funny. But it says they do some basic mat wrestling and then go all Memphis with comedy spots before.
Which is what I figure, actually, because Aries is actually really good at that.
Yeah. And then Aries snaps and beats the shit out of him, basically. And
good. Perfect. Perfectly booked.
Young hits a belly-to-belly suplex for a two, stops to kiss ODB as he climbs a corner, takes too long, gets nailed. So, but yeah, it's but then with the Sting has to create his own family, one that he can trust, his new family, his own new main event mafia. Very soon, a new main event mafia will arise, and aces and eights will fall. So that was his.
That's right.
That was his.
Team. All right. So I think we're done with TNA here. You have a couple quick news items, and then we'll get to the other topic of the evening here.
I don't know that I have any more news items, to be honest. No? I think it was just.
There was a Mark Starr or Mark.
Yeah.
Mark Starr. WCW wrestler who passed away?
He did pass away, yes. Was he in Men at Work with...
Yeah.
It was his brother.
I believe that was him.
Yeah, okay. And I mean, and he...
He was somebody he gave... he was good friends with Sheamus, gave Sheamus the pro kick finisher. Well, you know, helped bring him up.
Yeah.
You know, worked in WCW... still fairly young. I think he's 51 when he passed.
Yeah, 50.
Just a quick mention. Mark Starr, isn't it?
Yeah, not Mike. I believe so.
Yeah, Mark Starr. Couldn't get it right.
He was basically, so, I knew him.
He deserves at least that.
I knew him best as a WCW Saturday Night Jobber.
It's kind of what he was.
I know that...
but those guys were important back in the day, is the thing.
One of the... ECW office worker, I guess, who was very... well known in wrestling in the 90s, Debbie Beaumont passed away of cancer at the age of 58. I guess she passed away last month and had walked away from the business, you know, when ECW folded, that it took sort of that long for kind of the news to get out. But a couple of deaths, not main eventers by any stretch, but always sad when people pass in.
Just Incredible was him and his family were asleep at his family's house.
Yes.
Not his family. I think it was like his parents or something like that.
Well, he doesn't own a house.
No. They were all robbed. His wife and everything like that were robbed. Apparently the people robbing them kept on mentioning his brother's name and everything. So that's a strange situation. They're robbed in the middle of the night while they were in the home and probably scary as hell.
Well, no kidding. And I mean, those did the robbers get all $28 to his name?
As long as they didn't get his Portuguese man of war mask, we're good.
Well, that's true. We should search for that on eBay.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. There is that. What else was there? I think there was a couple other news items, wasn't there? Little ones?
It could be. There's lots of little ones. As I said, I mean, I watched Bo Dallas win the NXT Championship. That came off pretty nice. I mean, is...
Clean? Does he win a clean?
Yeah,
or
clean. He is, they're booing him. But, I mean, and his promo was as you would expect.
I did see that. I did see that promo last week. You talked about it. It was fucking great.
Yeah.
And his delivery was a little stiff, but the psychology behind it was amazing.
Yeah, and then you got the antithesis of that when they didn't script a promo for him, and they sent Renee Young out to get his reaction to winning the title. And, yeah, just it was like, I don't know what to say. I'm like, oh. Wonderful.
No, not good.
Yeah,
not
good. I'm going to Disney World. It's like, oh, fuck off.
No, he's probably going to be. There's a good chance if we turn around the corner, one of us will see him because he was stalking us at the
Royal Rumble. He was stalking.
Every time we turned around, there was Bo Dallas.
Hey, it's literally. Bo Dallas. And he was so happy.
Literally. And he had that little grin on his face, like, oh, these fucking guys again.
He was so happy that we knew who he was. Like, hey, yes. It's Bo Dallas. And he's like, so proud. Yes, I am Bo Dallas. And then, like, 10 minutes later, we turn around, hey, it's Bo Dallas. And he'd be like, oh, these guys. And I think it took, like, 3 times before he was like, these guys again. Because the first couple times, like, hey, it's
Bo Dallas. He's happy.
He was like, well, fuck, people know me.
Yeah, that was great. All right, let's get to the game I have set up here.
It's all about the game.
It is. I named this game, How Well Does Addy Know His WWE Wrestling Matches?
Oh, good.
And from 1986 to 1997. Okay. That's the name of the game is. How well does Addy know his wrestling matches for WWF, I should say, from 1986 to 1997? Because that's really in your wheelhouse here.
Yeah, it is. 97 was a great year.
Yeah, I've heard.
Yes.
Okay. Basically, this is how it
also, how 19, it, how 1997, goes down. You know what else happened in 1997? That's when the Bruins Chicago Blackhawks game 1 started.
And it'll end sometime in 2023.
Oh my god, that was couldn't have fuckers.
All right, so how this works is I have categories here. I'm going to have 4 matches.
Okay.
And what we're doing is we're basing these matches. You're going to have to tell me which match you think was the highest rated match within by Dave Meltzer. In the Wrestling Observer magazine.
Dave Meltzer. Okay.
Yes, sir. So, for instance, this one is Bret Hart is the first category.
Okay.
So, Bret Hart matches.
I'll take Bret Hart for 500, Alex.
Bret Hart versus Davey Boy Smith from Seasons Beatings, 1995. December 1995.
Yes.
Bret Hart versus Mr. Perfect from SummerSlam, 91. Davey Boy Smith versus Bret Hart from SummerSlam 92. Or Shawn Michaels versus Bret Hart from
Survivor Series 92.
So tell me in order, what do you think was the lowest and what do you think is the highest rated of those matches? And then we'll discuss them.
Okay.
So again, season beatings, Perfect SummerSlam, Smith SummerSlam, Shawn Michaels, Survivor Series 92.
I'm just trying to think because, again...
And again, we're basing it off Dave Meltzer.
Dave Meltzer?
Which is... This is...
I'm just...
Dave Meltzer. So, I mean...
I'm trying to think here. I'm looking at kind of the era of the time.
May not be what he's thinking, right?
That's true. But I would actually go as far as to say if we're going with number 4, is the Shawn match number 4?
No, it is not.
Okay. Then is it would it be the Perfect match?
It's the Perfect match.
Okay, that's those.
Okay. Any guess as to how many stars it gets?
3 3/4.
4 stars.
4 stars. Okay,
4 stars.
4 stars. Okay, so the lowest rated Bret Hart match is 4 stars.
In this group,
of those
yes.
4. Yes. Okay. Then probably Season's Beatings would be next.
No, it isn't.
Is it the SummerSlam match?
It is the next SummerSlam match. It's 4 1/4 stars between
Davey
Smith
Boy,
and Bret Hart.
Okay. And then the Shawn. So, then the Shawn match?
Then the Shawn match.
And that's, what, 4 1/4 as well?
4.5.
4.5, okay. And then was it a 4.5 or 4 3/4 was the Season's Beatings?
Season's Beatings is 4 3/4 between Davey Boy Smith and Bret Hart. So I think that's kind of interesting looking back. You and I have said many times how we're both like, I mean, the legend of that SummerSlam match.
Yes.
You know, right? But we've said many times, hey, I think that the Season's Beatings match is better.
Yeah.
It doesn't get nearly the hype or the memories or anything like that, but we said it ourselves. And here it is. It gets 4 3/4. I mean, it was such an awesome match. And better, higher than the half point higher than the Davey Boy Smith one. So the Shawn Michaels one, which you also mentioned, is 4.5.
Yeah.
And The Bret Hart Mr. Perfect is also more famous than that and only gets 4.
Well, I was going to say, there's your flip side, is that the two most famous are the two lowest, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know? But so I think that's kind of
there is something to be said about in the actual match quality versus doing, you know, the career, right? I mean, the Intercontinental – that was his first Intercontinental title win, you know, catapulted his career as a legitimate single star in terms of a title, and that losing.
Well, I mean, if you were to list this, those four, what order would you list it in personally?
Oh, personally, I would have said seasons, beatings. I would say seasons, beatings, Mr. Perfect, Wembley Stadium, then Shawn Michaels. No, and again, that's not to say that the Shawn Michaels is the worst. It just.
I probably would have the same thing, and I still would probably go 4.25 or so for the Shawn Michaels. But, I mean, that's how high quality we're talking about. So if we're going to talk about Bret Hart, the next category is going to be Shawn Michaels.
Okay.
Because if we're going to talk about the mostly four-star matches, and what we are doing here is we are looking at matches that are not always four stars. They don't always reach that. But they're definitely very famous matches or very well-thought-of matches, one or the other, right? So if we're looking at a lot of these, a lot of them are going to contain Shawn Michaels or Bret Hart.
Yeah.
So the next one is Shawn Michaels. You tell me again, which one of these is the highest rated and what did it get and which one of these is the lowest?
Right.
We have Shawn Michaels versus Marty Jannetty from Raw.
93.
July 93.
Yep.
Shawn Michaels and Diesel versus Razor Ramon and the 1-2-3 Kid.
Is that from the Action from 94. Zone? The Action Zone, the debut of the Action Zone.
Debut of the Action Zone, 1994. We have Shawn Michaels and Steve Austin versus Davey Boy Smith and Owen Hart. I think that's King of the Ring in 97, I think.
No, that was
definitely
Raw.
Not, or is it just
Raw.
A Raw?
That was Raw. Because the King of the Ring 97 was supposed to be Bret against Shawn and Pillman against Austin. And it ended up being Shawn against Austin.
So this was where Shawn and Austin won the tag titles from Davey Boy and Owen.
Yes.
On Raw.
Yes, great match.
And we have Shawn Michaels versus Vader from SummerSlam.
Okay, so that would be number 4.
You'd be correct.
Yes.
It's still 4 stars.
Elbow!
But it's still 4 stars.
Move! But that's the lowest. And then I'm just looking at, you know, that it's tough because that tag match from the Action Zone was really good.
Yeah. Tremendous.
But I got to go with that for number 3.
You'd be wrong.
Is it okay? So then, is it the Marty Jannetty Raw match?
You'd be wrong.
Okay, so it is a tag. That tag match was with Austin. That was pretty good, I thought. But okay.
I know, and it's 4.25 stars.
Yeah.
So we're not talking.
No,
we're not talking about a shitty match.
But then,
so that means that the best match, according to him, is either Michaels versus Jannetty from Raw, or Michaels and Diesel versus Ramon 1-2-3 Kid from the Action Zone.
I'm going to go with the Action Zone as number 1.
No, it is the Marty Jannetty. The Action Zone, he gave 4.5 stars.
Yeah, it was great. Again, I remember seeing
it. And it's one of those matches that's not on DVD anywhere. People don't talk about it. 4.5 fucking stars.
Was,
Action Zone match.
It was one of the matches, though, that when before torrents came out, and you could really only download off those LimeWire and things like that. You could only download individual matches, really. And it was so – you could get events, but it was so hard. Individual matches. That was one of the matches that was very popular. It came out that way.
Deservedly so. I haven't watched it in so long.
Well,
I remember.
I think it was because of the stars involved that it became popular. Because the other match that for some reason was super popular was – the Ultimate Warrior and the Undertaker against the Berserker and Papa Shango.
Oh, I remember that match.
For some reason, that was like all over LimeWire and stuff. Like you just type in WWF and it was like there. Hey, you want to download this? It's like no, I don't.
So Jannetty versus Michaels. I think they had another match that was 4.25 stars or something like that.
Rumble maybe.
Somewhere around there. Yeah, this one is 4.75, though. It's very close to a 5-star.
This was the match. This was on the same night. This was May 17th, 1993, that the 1-2-3 Kid beat Razor Ramon.
Oh, you're right. It was, And it was just an amazing match.
Shawn was walking away, and Mr. Perfect threw Shawn back into the ring, and Marty Jannetty won the Intercontinental title, meaning that the next Monday in Madison Square Garden, Big Daddy Cool Diesel had to make his debut to help Shawn regain the Intercontinental title.
Yeah. And that match also, I think, was about 4 stars.
It wasn't the Monday, sorry. It was the next weekend.
So anyways, Shawn Michaels, Jannetty, if you were going to rate these yourself, though, from your memory?
As I said, I would go with the Action Zone number one.
Yeah.
I would probably, I would tie the two tag matches and put Vader last.
Yeah.
Or not the two tag matches, sorry.
The other two matches.
Yeah, and then Vader last. I'd have to go like 2A and 2B and then 4 for Vader.
Okay, moving on to Randy Savage.
Ooh, yeah.
Okay, we have Ultimate Warrior versus Randy Savage retirement match from WrestleMania 7.
While we're talking about Randy Savage, I'd just like to quickly say that Rideau Park Elementary School here in Calgary recently had WWE Day in their school. And I understand that Miss King was the best dressed up as the Macho King.
That's awesome.
Yes.
That's tremendous. And did you help her do it?
Huh? I did.
That's what you know about
it. I was the creative consultant.
Okay. Randy Savage. Ultimate Warrior versus Randy Savage from WrestleMania 7.
Okay.
Randy Savage versus Ric Flair from WrestleMania 8.
Okay.
Randy Savage versus Ricky Steamboat from
WrestleMania
3. Or Randy Savage versus Tito Santana from Boston Gardens in 1986, no DQ match.
This is when Savage. Is this when Savage won the Intercontinental title?
No, this is a revenge match. Would have been a DQ match.
Okay, a return match because he actually won the Intercontinental title from Tito Santana in 1986 in Boston. So this would have been back to Boston for that return match. Okay,
very heated match. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I would say that. Oh shit, this is tough. These are all, you know, I guess I'd have to put. Is it weird to say that? The Flair match? Is it the last?
No.
Is it Savage Steamboat?
No.
Okay. So then maybe it is this. Any of them, they're all. Okay, then Tito?
Yes, Tito. Okay. That's a 4-star match.
I've never seen it, so I don't.
Yeah. It's a 4-star match. It's a 4-star match. Savage, Steamboat, Tito Santana. Okay. Savage and Tito Santana from Boston Gardens, No DQ, 1986. I think it's on Daily Motion. It's about 15 minutes long or something like that.
Makes sense.
Definitely one you will watch it. I know you will.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So what do you think was next? Flair from Mania, Savage Flair. Warrior from Mania, or Savage Steamboat?
I say Flair.
I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to give these ones to you because I think this is a little hard here.
Yeah, they're all. Other than Tito that I've never seen, the other three are.
Well, which one do you think is number one?
I would do the Ultimate Warrior match.
No. Randy Savage versus Rick Steamboat gets 4.5 stars.
Okay, so that still is.
Which I think is interesting that gets 4.5 stars.
Yeah.
Jannetty versus Michaels gets 4.75 because that's the match that really from that era. From, say, probably 1985 to 1988, maybe 1990, that's like the match that is the greatest match in WWE.
Well, and the reason,
history, the reason, right, in that era.
The thing is, the reason that it is because it wasn't, Hogan was on top. It wasn't about wrestling. The NWA was about wrestling, but WWF wasn't about wrestling.
I know, but I think that's very interesting. He still gives it 4.5 stars. It's obviously awesome. But to Meltzer, wasn't at the level that everybody else gives it 5. I mean, everybody else gives it 5 stars, right?
Well, everybody...
And I wonder in retrospect if he would go back and give it 5 stars, because this is obviously at the time.
The thing is, I don't know that everybody gives it 5, but a lot of people do. Yeah, and it's because, as I said,
still the most people, it's one of the 2 or 3 most best matches in Mania history.
Oh, yeah, and maybe
it's top 10. I wouldn't have it in the top 2 or 3 personally.
No. But in terms of, Things are different too. Is just that the NWA was running wild with some great matches. You can have he watched stuff from all over, you know, in terms of territories and things like that. So he did see some, you know, Texas and Florida and you know and the Crockett's and all over those sorts of things. So you see a lot and I could see that. I mean, for us, we're comparing it again with maybe some Stampede and some WWF that we'd seen, you know, and on a big stage it was, especially for WWF, it was WrestleMania's best match, you know, until, you know.
Well, I remember watching that match live at the Saddledome, Olympic Saddledome here with about 8,000 people on a closed circuit television, because WrestleMania 3 was that fucking big. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, TNA can't get 8,000 people to buy a pay-per-view. But, you know, meanwhile, yeah, it was that big. But the thing about it was, the night that I watched it, it blew my ass away. You know, and the next time I watched it on videotape,
it was that
when
big.
It came out on tape, it was just amazing. But I watched it now, and I think I've seen better. Right. So
now it's more the nostalgia of knowing the call and seeing the crowd and the match. Yeah. But it's a great match, no doubt. But yeah, I mean, they're better at
that night. That was like that. The 8,000 there plus all the people. And you were there live at with 7,000-8,000 other people. WrestleMania 3.
93,174 other people, including Jesse and Gorilla.
So you're there with 7,000-8,000 other people. And so, I mean, obviously, like, you know the emotion. And it was weird because it was a crowd that loved Steamboat. But there already was those people cheering for Savage. And it was just – there was so much heat. In a lot of ways, it was more heated than any other match at the card, even the Hogan one to some degree.
Oh, yeah, to a lot of degree. It was the emotional match because there wasn't really that emotion between – Hogan and Andre was the big stars. But there really wasn't, other than him coming out on Piper's Pit and all of a sudden showing up with Heenan out of nowhere after being reinstated. That was how they made the match. Whereas Savage crushed Steamboat's larynx with the ring bell, and it was just this emotion about this wipe me baby face and he's hurt and such. Yeah. So that was it. But So that was there. I mean, I gotta put, I don't know, maybe he probably puts Flair number two.
Actually a tie.
Okay, a tie. So
they're actually a tie. Both the Warrior and the Savage match get 4.25.
And the Flair match.
Sorry, the Warrior. And the Flair match. Okay. Get 4.25.
Yeah.
So this next category is called gimmicks.
How about how I rank them?
Oh, okay.
Seen the Chico match, so I'll put that one last just because.
Well, you could always rank them next week after you've seen it.
Well, yeah, but I know, let's put the...
No, but it probably is last. Well, I have seen it. It's a really good match and very heated.
I would...
Like I say, Boston was hot for that rematch.
I would go Flair next, then Savage and Steamboat, and I would put the Ultimate Warrior match first.
Yeah, I probably have the Ultimate Warrior match, third, maybe even fourth there. Because I do like the SummerSlam match actually even more, which I think he gave 3.75. The SummerSlam match they have a couple of years later.
Yeah, but I said I like the...
Or maybe 4 stars even. It did well.
I like the WrestleMania match myself. That could very well be my favorite.
Well, you know what? It's less the match for me. It's more the moment after the match with Elizabeth.
It was all of it, though, with the with the elbow drop.
So it depends on whether or not you're calling it for that. See, I never liked... I see all the elbow drops. The night that it happened, because he was putting them on, even that night I went, it's too many. It's killing the gimmick to me. Like, it didn't work for me, psychology-wise, for me. So
I liked it only because, again, at that point, you'd never seen that happen.
Yeah, that's true.
So
that's
true. Was it. I mean, it's not like now.
He literally probably took 5 minutes putting on those 7 drops. Like, it just seemed like giving a guy a ton of time to recover.
Oh, yeah, but he was also hitting him with 7 of the moves that only at that point Hulk Hogan had kicked out of.
Well, and George Steele.
Oh, yes, and George Steele, that's right. But, I mean, those are two huge superstars.
And Andre the Giant.
Did Andre kick out of it?
Yeah.
At the house show, probably, right?
Anyways, yeah, and that was back when he was a heel and babyface, when Savage was still a heel and Andre was a babyface.
Okay. So.
All right, the next category is called gimmicks.
Okay.
So every single one of these matches is a gimmick match.
Yes, it is.
So we had the Royal Rumble 1992.
Okay.
Where Flair wins the title.
Right.
We have Ultimate Warrior versus Hulk Hogan, champion versus champion from WrestleMania.
Oh, okay.
We have the final four match between Bret Hart, final four elimination match between Bret Hart, Steve Austin, Vader, and Undertaker.
Yeah, February 1997. And we have
the Survivor Series tag team match from 1987. Killer Bees, Young Stallions, Strike Force, British Bulldogs, Fabulous Rougeau Brothers versus Demolition, Hart Foundation, Islanders, Bolsheviks, Greg Valentine, Dino Bravo.
Nice, the new dream team.
Yeah.
With Johnny V. Is that, yeah, okay. That's from what year, sorry?
87.
87, okay. So that was not the year that Fuji turned on Demolition and went with Powers of Pain. No, that was a year later. Fuge the Stooge. but I would...
This is the one, if you remember, the Young Stallions and... Is it the Killer Bees and Young Stallions were the two?
I think so, yeah. The Souls, the Survivors or whatever. It was the... yeah. I would put that last.
Okay. You're right. No, actually, you're not.
No?
You're not right. My mistake.
Oh. So, I'm trying to think of... then we had...
Royal Rumble 92, Warrior Hogan, Hart, Austin, Vader, Undertaker.
Let's see here. Id. Let's see. Did Hogan and Warrior then?
Sort of. It tied one of those other two.
Oh, one of the other two. Did it tie the Royal Rumble?
For Lois, it did.
Okay.
It ties the Royal Rumble for Lois. So the Ultimate Warrior versus Hulk Hogan and the Royal Rumble 1992. What do you think at the time Dave Meltzer gave those?
3.5?
3.75.
3.75, okay. And then, I mean, and with Hogan Warrior, it probably was 3.75. It's just everybody was expecting 2.
That's it. That's exactly it.
So
I think you're right. Plus, it was, again, you know, the moment and the heated crowd and the, you know, the split crowd and all that stuff, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, that was the spectacle. The spectacle. And I think that...
But Royal Rumble 1992, I mean... At the time, I don't know how you give it 3.75, but now, looking back on it, like you say, greatest Royal Rumble ever, maybe, it's really hard to imagine 3.75 for it.
Well, just even when you look at the booking of it.
Yeah.
You know, with this is not, and Heenan making the match with the, it's not fair to Flair, and just the way that it played out, he just eliminates Boss Man, and the ring is to himself, and here comes Piper, the man he just ended up feuding with, who won the Intercontinental title earlier tonight. It was just, you know, that kind of story, right? So, you know, Davey Boy, you know, doing the press slams to throw him out, playing a role, Lex Luger. I mean, it was just, you know.
Yeah.
But there you go. And I guess the you could knock it down a little bit for the finish, I guess.
Maybe
with Hogan eliminating Sid, you know, that brings it below 4 maybe for me then, yeah.
Not below 4. But.
Yeah, I think I could do 3.75 with that then. I could say it's a 4 if, and then yeah, fuck finish, you know.
So so I will say,
babyface.
Do you want to even make a guess between these last two or?
Sorry, it was the Killer Bees, and the other one was the
Final Four.
Well, I'm gonna go with Final Four number 1.
It is. Yeah, I got 4.25 stars.
Great match.
Yeah, it was one of those matches that felt like a cluster going in and felt like a cluster during it. And then you sit back and by the time it's over, you're like, fuck, that was great.
Well, yeah, the rules were weird.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Pin, submission, or throw the guy over the top rope.
Yeah, but you could brawl to the outside and there's no count outs or anything. But you could
go through the, yeah, in between and brawl, right?
Yeah, it was weird. And they've never done it again. But because it was an elimination, because it furthers Bret and Steve, and you know, Undertaker wins the belt.
Undertaker and Bret was great, and you know,
yeah, exactly. So it was terrific, and of course that tag match was great too. I got 4 stars at the time. So
yeah,
this next category I'm going to call the workers. Actually, if you were going to go back, actually, Royal Rumble, Ultimate Warrior, and Hogan,
mm-hmm.
Hart, Austin, Vader, Taker, and Killer Bees. What would be your order there?
I would go Final Four, Royal Rumble, tag match, and Hogan Warrior.
Okay. So this next category I call the workers. It's people who isn't Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart.
So it's Kurt Hennig and Owen Hart matches?
Who have really good matches against 4-star or, well, actually not even 4-star, but just have very good matches. or against each other here. So, British Bulldogs versus Greg Valentine, Bruce Beefcake from WrestleMania 2.
Okay.
Okay. Owen Hart versus Davey Boy Smith from the European Finals.
Oh, on Raw from Germany.
Steve Austin versus Savio Vega, Caribbean Strap Match.
Caribbean Strap Match. No, was this
what was that pay-per-view? That was in your house.
Was that In Your House Beware of Dog Part 1 or Part 2?
That's Part 2.
Okay, we're looking at Part 2. So it's a match we saw.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Ted Savio Vega wins, Ted DiBiase will leave the WWF and join the NWO. And he did. Yes.
And Ricky Steamboat versus Jake Roberts from October 1986, Saturday Night's Main Event.
Oh, the DDT on the concrete.
Actually, this was the return match.
This was the return match.
This was the same night as the Cage and Hogan and Orndorff.
What?
I believe.
No.
Or maybe it was the Russell. No, sorry. It was the one before or the one after. I think it was the one before.
It was taped in December, aired in January of 87.
Yeah, so this one was the one before, I believe.
It had the Savage Bret Hart match on it. So we're going with, we got Jake and Steamboat. We got.
This is where Steamboat brought out the.
Oh, the kimono.
The kimono dragon.
Yes, okay. So we had Jake and Steamboat. We have Austin and Vega, Owen and Davey, and
Bulldogs and Valentine's.
Okay. Let me see. I would go with maybe the Caribbean Strap Match as the last one. Is there four? Okay. How about was it Jake and Ricky?
That is the lowest one.
Okay.
Guess how much stars?
3.5.
Exactly. Got 3.5 stars. I thought it was better than that. I loved that match.
I did too.
I loved their feud.
I thought the feud was great too. But again, sometimes you get the confines of a Saturday night's main event on the television if there's a commercial break, if time constraints, you know, versus that and such. So I could see that. I would then have to go with the Caribbean Strap Match.
That and actually another match tied.
Okay, so the Dream Team, the tag match, WrestleMania 2 tied. Yeah. And I could see, and I was thinking the Dream for Meltzer anyway. I was thinking it, and in the context of when it had happened, I could see that Bulldog Dream Team, good match, but it was the gem surrounded by the shit that was WrestleMania 2. I mean,
I think WrestleMania 2 only had one other match that was really, and that was another tag match that was Tito and who did he team with against the Funks?
Tito and was the other JVD against the
JVD
Funks,
versus the Funks was the other strong match, and that's probably like 3.5 stars.
And exactly, because I mean, you had like Adrian Adonis against Uncle Elmer, and you know,
you had a lot
of
shit.
Yeah. So anyway, so and Velvet McIntyre and Moolah for 18 seconds, you know. So we, but okay, and then of course, that the European Finals.
What do you think he gave the European Finals?
I would say 4.5.
You got it right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the other two got a 4-star there. So how would you, how would you list it? I mean.
How would I rank it? I would.
Yeah.
I mean, the European Finals is number one.
The best,
for sure.
Yeah, so good.
I would then, I would say, you know, that I, the strap match, I'd probably have that last. Personally,
I probably have that second. I think that's the best strap match I've ever seen. I mean, fuck, they beat the hell out of each other, and it was the second time in 2 nights.
It just, yeah. I mean, Savio Vega was in it.
My expectations were low.
That's true.
Steve Austin wasn't anybody at the time. He had just become Stone Cold Steve Austin like 3 weeks earlier.
No. He becomes Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Probably longer than that. But
he went into WrestleMania 12 as Stone Cold Steve Austin.
That's right. Yeah, and this was a month after that.
This was, a month. No, it wasn't. It was,
it was.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
No, it wasn't. Shawn Michaels, the boyhood.
Oh, that's right. He took on he took
friends,
on
better Diesel. Enemies, and then you so had 2 months to wear after. A dog. Yes, so it would have been it would have been May, yeah, that they had it.
So it's two. So, but either way, he's nobody at the time. Stone Cold Steve Austin is nobody at the time.
Austin 316 hadn't happened yet. Yeah. You know, so
he hadn't been Stone Cold very long.
No, and then
he was still coming off the Ringmaster.
And the tag match. What was the other one? Sorry, was what match?
Steamboat and Roberts.
Oh yeah, Steamboat and Roberts. I would put. Yeah, maybe I do put the strap match then, Steamboat and Roberts, and then the Dream Team match. I didn't think that was too much anything other than the Bulldogs won the title, and it was decent. But it was, to me, it was every WWF tag team match in that era. You know, in that mid-80s era, that was kind of the thing. They were very paint-by-numbers with it. They did some good moves, but nothing spectacular to me. It wasn't the hard foundation in the Bulldogs that would come. Yeah. So,
So the next two categories I have is Shawn Michaels Part 2 and Bret Hart Part 2.
Okay.
And I could have done a Shawn Michaels Part 3 and 4 and a Bret Hart Part 3 and 4 if I wanted to here, because it stood out as workers that much more. But so here we go, Shawn. And you know, it's funny because you talk about Mr. Perfect, but it's just the people he was put in the ring with. He wasn't consistently put in the ring with people that allowed him to have great matches when he was in WWE.
Yeah, I guess you could. Yeah, you couldn't really name too many. You can't really name a lot of feuds, I guess, that Mr. Perfect had that were the work rates. I mean, it would be Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, basically.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So Shawn Michaels Part 2. We have the Shawn Michaels versus Razor Ramon ladder match from SummerSlam.
Okay, number 2. Number 2. Yep. Okay.
We have the Diesel versus Shawn Michaels Good Friends, Better Enemies match from 1996.
Right, April 96.
We have Shawn Michaels versus Mankind.
Ah, yes, Mind Games, February 96. Or September 96, sorry.
We have Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker, Hell in a Cell. The first Hell in a Cell. Now, we'll tell you this, 2 and 3 are again a tie.
2 and 3 are a tie, okay. I would go with Good Friends, Better Enemies being last.
Yeah, you'd be right.
Okay, and sorry, what was the first match that you named was Shawn against
Razor from the SummerSlam.
The SummerSlam ladder match. Okay, is that one number one with the other two tied?
No.
Okay, so is Mind Games number one then?
No.
Okay, so is Hell in a Cell number one then?
Hell in a Cell got 5 fucking stars.
Did it really?
Yeah.
I mean, I
yeah, 5 fucking stars.
I don't know in hindsight.
I don't know in hindsight if it does either. At the time, it blew me away.
Oh, yeah.
But and I could see 5 stars. I probably would have given it like 4 3/4. And I would have given Shawn Michaels versus Mankind 5 stars.
Yeah, that's...
But he gave that 4 3/4.
See, here's the only reason I know...
I would give that ladder match 4 1/4, and I actually think... the Michaels versus Diesel, I give 4.5. So I would actually have the ladder match lowest. But, you know, so yeah, I mean, he has Michaels versus, like I say, he has Michaels versus Diesel 4.5. Michaels versus Mankind 4 3/4. Michaels versus Ramon ladder match 2, 4 3/4. Michaels versus Undertaker 5 stars. This just in, Shawn Michaels is a good worker.
He is a good worker. I think that, again, with the Kane finish, though, If by my sort of to my consistency here, I guess that continuity is so important if I'm going to go all the way, is that if I'm going to knock that quarter point off to bring that Royal Rumble from a 4 to a 3 3/4, then that Kane interference again, while making sense in terms of storyline, you know, maybe to take that away from being a 5-star match.
I don't think. Shawn Michaels felt like he was in such – that match felt so real. Like, it felt like Shawn Michaels was in real danger.
Well, he was...
Part of it was the gimmick at the time from Mankind felt very dangerous. Like you say, it's the first time, and we haven't had anybody who scares kids since, you know, type deal. Like,
yeah.
Like, he felt crazy. He felt dangerous. And Shawn was the, you know...
And a lot of people don't remember that Mind Games match, too. It was that finish of Vader and Sid getting involved, right?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that's... I mean...
Oh, sorry, I thought that's what you said.
I was talking about Kane.
The Hell in the Cell
to take it away from being a 5.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's where he rips the door off.
That's gotta be Kane. That's gotta be Kane.
That's right, yeah.
He's gonna puke.
But even that was well done.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was definitely.
See, I just don't think that second ladder match was the one where they weren't allowed to hit each other with the ladder. Was the stipulation?
In the head, I think.
No, at all.
Oh, at all.
And Razor accidentally hits him at one point to some booze. Really? But it was, so they had to be more inventive in how they used it, which to me actually hurt the match a little.
Okay,
and,
well.
And again, it's one of those ladder matches I've seen so many that are so amazing now.
I got to quickly let my dog out. So rank, again, the top four here for you for these matches. Go give your, just to recap, what would be your ranking here?
Like I said, I think Shawn Michaels versus Mankind is the best of those. I think that match is unbelievable. And for me, I would have Michaels versus The Undertaker. Everybody talks about when Mankind goes off the top of the cell. Shawn Michaels went off from, he was hanging on the side of the cell in this match, and about three quarters of the way up, almost 80% of the way up, and he falls while he's hanging off the side into a table. Almost as big a fall as what Mankind had, Michaels had there when he fell. And I'd never seen anything like that. So that is number two for me for that spot. And then Michaels versus Diesel was awesome. That's where they grabbed the leg of Mad Dog Vachon, who had lost his leg. They grabbed the phony leg and used it. It was just, again, it felt like a real fight. And the end of that, it felt so much like a real fight. The end of this, who Michaels, the number one babyface, who had just gotten the belt in the PG Attitude era, when he pins Shawn, Diesel, he stands up and goes, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, get the fuck out of the ring.
Yeah.
And he's giving him the finger and stuff. It was different. And then that was Michaels versus Razor Ramon.
2 weeks in a row, or 2 months in a row, right?
Yeah, it really was.
Tell him to get the fuck out of my ring.
Really was. All right.
Bret Hart Part 2.
Bret Hart Part 2. We have Bret Hart, Owen Hart, Davey Boy Smith, Jim Neidhart, and Brian Pillman versus Steve Austin, Legion of Doom, Goldust, and Ken Shamrock.
Yes.
Canadian Stampede main event.
Okay.
We have the Bret Hart versus Steve Austin 1996 Survivor Series.
Sorry, yeah.
We have Bret Hart versus Mr. Perfect, King of the Ring, 1993.
Okay, second round match.
And we have Diesel versus Bret Hart, January 1995, Royal Rumble. And I'm going to give you this. Only one of these, three of these matches at the same rating, one is the highest.
Okay, so the 10-man is the highest, yes?
No.
Really?
Wow. No, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
And I know for me what would be the highest. It wouldn't be that either.
Okay. So then we had the perfect. You said the perfect one. We have the. Sorry, what was Austin?
Austin Survivor Series and Diesel versus Bret Hart's Royal Rumble. That's the one where Backlund and Owen and Shawn, everybody's running
in. They all run in, yeah, yeah.
Starting it, and it was like this vicious fight, no DQ, and.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I personally, I mean, at that time, in terms of the one-on-one of the other three, I liked the Steve Austin Survivor Series.
That's your favorite?
That's
That's my second favorite, but my favorite is the Mr. Perfect. Bret Hart versus Mr. Perfect. I think that might be my favorite Bret Hart match. Like I say, that's the one where Bret is working on the fingers of Mr. Perfect for the match. It's just the psychology and the wrestling is so good.
And it was their only babyface match.
Yeah, they're both babyfaces.
Yeah. So which one did Meltzer have?
Meltzer had the Steve Austin versus Bret Hart. It's at 4.5 stars, and the other three are 4.25. Again, this just in, Bret Hart was good.
Yes.
I mean, I have ones in here from other people like Jean-Pierre Lafitte, and you wouldn't believe what they're rated and shit like that I just didn't put in.
Again,
I could have done so many more for Bret and Shawn. They're just amazing. For me, I do think it's interesting. Again, we talk about the legend of the SummerSlam match. That was 4 stars. The King of the Ring match with Mr. Perfect, 4.25. So even Meltzer thought that was better, and I've always thought it was a little better too. But both are great.
Oh, yeah, and again, it's just about publicity of the matches, right? I mean, this was a second round King of the Ring, you know, 15 or 10 minute time limit match, right? So,
and the Canadian Stampede one is amazing, and that's largely because of the crowd, but it's hurt a little bit because of Bruce Hart.
like so many other matches.
It's true. This match is unbelievable, and the crowd is so unbelievable. It's the greatest, still probably the greatest crowd ever in the history of WWE, WWF, was that night. But the problem is, as just as the pin is happening, Bruce Hart decides to go into business for himself and starts punching one of the – who was it he started punching? Was it – I think it was one of the Legion of Doom.
Yeah.
And so the camera goes to – or the camera doesn't go to him. Sorry, but the whole live audience goes to him because they're seeing this melee interrupt.
Yeah.
They think that's part of the match. So nobody's watching the ring. So Owen pins Steve Austin, rolls him up for a pin to no reaction. You know?
Yeah. Well,
should have been the hottest moment because Bruce is a fuck.
Well, yes, there is that. But he was mad at Takemichi Noku from earlier. But the thing with it is that...
Why? Because he's what?
Huh? Small. But I think that match... I think more the entrance adds to it, too. So I think you have to, that's what I said. When I said, I thought, because Meltzer always speaks so highly of it, I was going to look at him with that event, so I thought maybe that's the one that would put, but to me, the Steve Austin.
Well, he says that might be the best pay-per-view they ever put on, and it might be.
Yeah, it might be. I don't know. It was for a long time, and it's up there in terms of all time, but
I'm not saying it is, I'm saying it might be.
Yeah, no, I understand. It's not, there's so many, I'd have to. To think back at them all, but the Steve Austin match to me is bad. Blizzard Perfect, I remember being very good, and I almost forget about it. I should go back and watch it, actually, is what I should do after I watch the Chico Randy Savage match. Because, you know, I'll take some time out from watching episodes of WWF Superstars from 1988, which I am still doing.
I know you are.
I think we'll be standing in line and waiting for Mankind's. Entrance thing. And I was like, so you know, I said I texted you the match that was on was on Superstars from 1988 was a Ted DiBiase against Buck Zumhoff.
Yeah,
didn't realize that he was there at that point. I knew he did the thing with Hunter there, but I didn't realize that he was a regular jobber, and he actually jobbed to a few guys in there. This was I'm at the point now, the summer of 1988, where the Rougeau brothers are becoming fabulous. It's excellent.
All right, well, anyways, that's a good game, and like I said, I could have done more, and we only got up to 1997, and after that there's a lot more pay-per-views of wrestling to actually use, so we'll return to this one at some point. I think we need to do the plugs and then go OUT on this motherfucker.
Yes, indeed. Yes, so WeTalkWrestling.com is our website, but you can also you can subscribe to this show on iTunes. You can get the Stitcher app on your mobile device and listen to our show that way, We Talk Wrestling. We're at We Talk Wrestling on Twitter, Facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling. We're on there. Email me, Addie, @WeTalkWrestling.com. We Talk Wrestling. There you go.
Yeah. So email us at Addy, Addie.
Yeah. But Mo won't reply.
But I'll look at them.
That's true.
All right. That's it. We're done. Right?
We're done. I think that's going to do it. So in the meantime and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
You didn't make a single joke about my mom this week.
That's because I'm boning her right now.